This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Up my way again. After all, I knew the tree was there, and I've even seen it worked by Muslim, by a good Muslim who's made it into a rug that's at the Metropolitan. I've seen it realized by painters. I would understand, it isn't a matter of time, but I understand it only that it has been humanly realized in through an art. So that now I think I may be getting around to the picture of the work. All those things in my childhood could really have just been, after all, they're fantasies. They're fantasy life. I mean, the different things that were going on. Then to make them at all real, to realize them, which is another frame of the real, to engage in them so that through your human effort and also through your human care, and how in my poems actually it also will make clear why I always go back and try to re-engage like a person with a thread, and what is the knot, try to re-engage everything that otherwise would be a fantasy, otherwise I could see right away, engage it with all the human experience I can possibly engage with. At the points that I'm most drawn to, and the kind of poem that excites, that satisfies the most in me, and when I'm working on it, I am engaged in, as Olson said, to know the roots of the word. Now it is not just, it's those roots are to tie that knot. And also to be engaged at every single point in relation to every single point, other point in the poem, and feeling along the way, step by step. Recognizing how each step is part of the final thing. And of course, these things, it's like a folk art, so some of these things in the work are really very well known. Who let the light into the dark? This is almost as simple as working with black and white or light and dark when you're working on a rug. I can go back to rugs because I've actually made a rug. It didn't turn out to be one of those, but I meant at least engaged in the act of rug making, since I had repeated dreams about this other medium. But I work all the time outside of the poem to know more about what that light and dark is, to know more about what the knot is, the light and dark that are already present. Because I know they'll come again, and I know also that given, once they occur in a poem, as has happened, Pindar poem, is 4 or 5 years ago or something, that very light and dark that's there is now in a larger design that the Pindar poem is a little knot, a little area in. And while the way the knot, I trust that the knot is not to be cannot be untied, but in the next area, I must know everything that it was before, and also know why it reoccurs, and this I'm searched for in between time. And I think actually the poem is unlocked, because you gather, we have the phrase, I gather what you mean, because you gather what you mean yourself. And when it gathers in, then you are ready, and you do supply something that actually echoes back, so we see our first light and dark in having a new depth and a new meaning because of its reoccurrence in the total thing. So these are not that the picture I'm making is that things do not recur by habit, but they reoccur because you come to the time being re-engaged with them. Certainly, you know, there was an engagement in another level of life. Now my rug is going across the work of art itself. There was an engagement in another level of life when the snow thuds themselves were attended and cunning. You know, what is craft and guile and cunning, as in the passage of the of that poem Risk, I'll read it to you and see what I saw when I found that in the Risk. Now, this sky is the limit reach now acclaim. I had not the means to buy the vase. Means what, surrender? Then the lure Loki or Mercury contrives must be worked by the dumb smith in whose honest guile, craft, guile melts to form what we longed for. Now that, for all of the play that goes on there about the craft, guile, and it does get crafty by the time the subject even comes up, and the dumb, I really don't know, I have really hidden from myself, and now I'll have to look. Was the smith really dumb? I mean, what is the smith who can't talk, the fashioner who can't, who is actually dumb? I do know that we write because there's something we are not able to say. I mean, this is certainly the hazard of when I lecture. There's something that the poem does do, and we've been discussing frequently in the morning sessions the business of what brought the hand into the question, and why the writing, why the reading writing, the dual relationship, because the reader also is engaged with the poem and a creator of the poem. Why that? Something in that, as if when the gift were given, this art, this fashioning, this manipulation of things, and the contrivance entered in, you were really dumb when you were speaking. Numb. Not speaking when you were speaking, and speaking in the hand. I think there are clearly a number of of those keys. When I said you're told three things, work, the idea of work and the work, is a key of life. I would not give up. And for me, I see. Olson said this noon. Perhaps we should have some homeopathy to pass on, and I would have only the simple one what I see when a person has not worked the poem, when the work is not, when you do not have this engagement of work, the poem will still speak, yes, and what it will reveal to us is this other thing we call futility, bankruptcy, despair. And the minute the work enters the poem, the minute we are re-engaged in the work, there is no futility, bankruptcy, despair, but something is coming into being. Something, vitri arises again. Well, it could be called a balance. We also are supposed to, belief, unbelief, they could have this off and on business. Now, of course, a man, drop the poem, fine, and then you aren't going to be caught in the work and the futility. But there is certainly is a way of going at the poem which tackles the futility of it. And also, where I do agree very strongly with what Denise Levertov was advancing this morning is that I have always followed in my life, but I also think there was no other way for me, so I don't think it was a choice. My body tone that I spoke of when I know I'm ready to write a poem. And when I'm not, I have not really the experience of trying to write a poem. I put it this way: the experience of trying to write a poem when you can feel very well that you haven't got such a readiness is excruciating and does involve some area of the futility. So that I'm perfectly willing to accept that if I were to be drawn as a being, I'd have many days that don't exist. And considering how important when I'm addressing a company like this, I feel the tying of the knots are, And that I can even imagine, as does the Zohar, a book of Jewish mysticism, imagine that a man could tie every moment of his life, you know, and certainly the Muslims who made those rugs did, tie every knot of the life. Oh, they called it accounting for your days. And they said Abraham accounted for his days, that he really did live every minute of his life. And they knew very well that was fantastic. They knew that most men did not live every minute of their lives and lived a very, very short time of it, indeed. Any of us can reflect what a short time of our lives we have lived. When I look back, I'm 44, and my engagement in the art of poetry itself has been from its inception when I was 17. In that time, it isn't. If I even were to take just the poems, I'm amazed at how I'm puzzled even for all the excitement and they were called All My Days. If the poems were called All My Days, I still would not have accounted for all my days. Because because you yourself as a reader begin to have a sense of all the days, they are the poems that come forward to you, the poems of another person. And so that, let's say, Lawrence has a life in you, and he has a life in those poems of Lawrence's that come in and take their life in you. And you soon find how, at least I do, I find how little actually I can let another man's life live in my life. A poet, Ezra Pound, who I have read since I was 17, and who is still a central poet for me. Well, I know how they turn statements like this against him, but I mean this in good faith, because these poems are central for me, and I am aware of how little I've let his life, can let his life live in me. I read this is a sieve that rises. The poem, you're terrifically excited, and it speaks to you. You're in the full emotion of it, but what the other thing of lasting is some. So the work is haunted in the West. This may be in the Western world. They do marvel. I have seen in a movie called The River how magnificently in the East they will make a work of art and throw it into the river to sink in the mud. But we have another. We are this work and this idea of the work as it came up in alchemy was some lasting thing. At least at the present stage, and I don't think here I have a definition, but it's the thing. Let's say I am at the stage now where it seems to me that the alchemical gold is something of what would last and what is disguised otherwise. What we don't, once we recognize it, it proves to. I mean, what they're talking about is that when you see it, when you recognize it, when you bring it into its full creation. It is what they called the gold. And they, of course, knew that that was some absolute... as a matter of fact, it has also been called a seed as small as a mustard seed. You may have on... is it a minute? What time is it? What portion of the life, or where was it, that was this thing that you would have said? Or in relation to my own poetry... How much of it is actually do I let live in me, as it had happened? So that one of the works in the poem, each poem itself is the work of the poem. It seems to me is to trans. If we think of it in the terms of the alchemical work, it is to make a. Make a gold, that's getting out of my is not giving what I want here. Lasting. What? Opus. Yeah. The poem is to re-engage in something analogous to the alchemical work, so that there will be that gold. And as Allen Ginsberg has told us, the poem does at other times in your life you discover this gold in it, and then you recognize what the poem means. But I'm framing it the other way around, because I think that I do feel the language is already always willing to yield this gold, but what about the work? I think at the point when you it may very well you have not worked that poem, and the work of the poem only came at that moment of recognition. The reader can work a poem. The reader can work a poem that the poet failed to work and arrive at the gold that is in it. And so the picture I would make, and I can close with this, is that if I have a drive, and it certainly is not always there, because I like to do many things in poems, but I'm talking now about one idea of the poem and as the work. In that, it would be to render. I've used also to render this gold, and I use the term lasting. This lasting to make, but to also to deliver up the life you have lived in some time. And the language is a medium for delivered. You delivered into the language because, another human being, any other human being can also, if you have done that work, they can go through, they can go into that work and participate in it. If you have not done the work, they can do an other work, which is like the work of analysis when the poet has really not. The work of analysis about why the poem doesn't work, that makes us aware of what it was that would have been there. See, that's very different from discovering what is there. And why is it hidden when it's there? It's because not all poems. Some poems are quite direct. They want to present it right there like that. And I do think you can show that tree that I talked about originally. So when you come to a poet like myself where you are engaged in order to find it or even come to it, in participating in it, that's why the poem involves so much. So my picture actually of the alchemical work, what if what the alchemists were talking about was just like what Jung says it is? Now, it's real easy reading Jung, and yet he is aware that the real work took place by people who demanded that they go into the lab, and they were asking the chemical world to reveal this, as we ask the language world. As a matter of fact, it's very hard for us not to view that asking the chemical world to review it. It's only in the very recently with people like Jung that there's been a hint that maybe it was not wrong to ask the chemical world to reveal the secret. And part of my being antiquated that I recognize is that I think it's much more reasonable to ask the language to reveal a secret, and find it very puzzling indeed that men ask while my imagination grasps that the chemical world is alive, and certainly the language tells us that it's alive, or else it's dead. I mean, it has the same alternative of the work and futility. By the way, we could call it alive or it's dead. These aren't two people. And so we also engage the poem to make it alive. Make it alive or make it dead. Both can go on in this. But the work is alive. And the work can be called life. It's called religion adds a third one called the life. The life you make out of the thing that the person is alive seems to us a wonder whenever we're conscious of it, and we certainly have the sense much of the time that we ourselves are dead to things. Okay, that's we're not going to settle any of these questions by going on in our ring. There is one poem I would like to read because some of the people here in Vancouver had gotten a poem in typescript and wished I had read it the other evening. So I'll close with a poem. It's called The Continent. It's a poem written this year. Just to prove I did write a poem this year. and all his bankruptcy and all that. The Continent. Under earth currents, Gaia, Hana Hana, mother of the Lady Verger, all dressed in green, her leafy graces, in margins, the writ illumined, wreathed round with pomegranate, split for in-betweens of jeweled hive, red seed upon red seed, ripe peach, pear, apple cut to show the core, vine tendril into talon curls, faces in the fruit occur. The artist of the margin works abundancies and sees the theme is much too big to cover all o'er, a decorative frieze out of earthly proportion to the page. Needs vast terms, unspecified, even boredom of those plains that from Denver bend east, east, east. The Midwestern mind differs in essentials, another time zone. In Iowa, they do not dig the swarming locale, our port of recall. There's no Buddhist temple in the Midwest town. Earth drains down the Old Man River and runs out in swamps and shallows of the Caribbean. They do not remember the body of them waters, but stand with feet upon the ground against the run to the mythic sea, the fabulous. A diary poem, today, Gaia, earth, murther, murmurer, demurer. The old have crept out today, afternoon, and go out so slow, forth lifting up their bones painfully. It's a caution to see their faring. Then a sparrow smashed upon the sidewalk. I am not so old, but I can put the thought away, my foot before my foot, climbing the hill as if for rhyme, my teeth are gnashing, and again the thought returns that we conquer life itself to live, survive what we are. The head crushed sideways, the wings spread out as if embracing the sidewalk, too close for shadow, the immediate. How bright the sun surrounds them, and day by day they sun themselves, turning, a day's eye turning as the sun passes overhead. These figures, a snake coil of water, a bird wheel in the sky, to the great wheel of sooty sheer waters passing north, counterclockwise as far as the horizon between shore and the islands, make their announcement in the heart of things. Here, our west's the orient, our continent the sea. In the heart itself a pang, as if the very day moved northward over the face of the waters. The mass of clouds moves up against the voice, bright breasts, blinding the eye as I attack their moving front to find a place in which the eye might rest. I am so far from you, come up the years, so far a continent looms between. In the far, the Appalachians belong to time before our time, the Urals are a part of. Continents of water and of earth, Gaia. Time's mother, too, must wear guises, hop on one leg and hide her head in a hut, dance with the rest among the masked guys. It's still Saturday before Easter, and love's hero lies in the nest of our time. In Banyo Bufar, the little doll of the Virgin once more meets the sorrowing procession, the black-clad walkers before the green of April, and looks upon his corpse they carry forth to meet her. Effeminized the soul is Sleeping Beauty, her snow white, who waits for Sunday's kiss to wake her, time zone by time zone. Across the continent, dawn so comes, breaking the shell of flowers, a wave, earth makes in turning, a crest against tomorrow breaks. There is only the one time, there is only the one God, there is only the one promise, and from its flame the margins of the page flare forth. There is only the one page, the rest remains in ashes. There's only the one continent, the one sea, moving now in rifts, churning and jamming, drifting feature from feature.